A lot of things happen in this place, eh?
Yeah.
Alice Springs seems to be the hub for everything. Yeah. I mean, it draws people here too. Maybe to teach them, you know, about Aboriginal people and how they connect. So this is by my son, and it's called Compromise. And it goes, compromise, compromise. See our country through our people's eyes. There is so much sadness and sorrow inside. That's because we have to compromise. Compromise, compromise. Our people have done it time after time. They've done it for roads, for people to reside. And what do we get? A sacred site sign.
G'day, I'm Mike Williams, and this is Off Track on RN. And for the next 3 weeks on the show, we'll be exploring Central Australia, the Red Centre, or Australia's inland island, as I've come to think of it. In today's episode, the significance of the physical landscape of Alice Springs to local Aboriginal culture. This is In the Shadow of the Caterpillars.
Got some bush plant here, bush medicine. There's one, two, three, four, five of them, bush medicine. But as for these other plants, you use it to wash yourself.
Oh, like soap?
Yeah.
Mervyn Rabunja is a local Yuparanya elder and a landscape painter. As we walk up the hill, he's pointing out all the plants I could live off.
We're standing on the top of, the top of Alice Springs, really. This is Anzac Hill. Ooh. And there's not a cloud in the sky. It's an absolutely perfectly clear day, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Mora.
Before I came out here, I thought Alice Springs was just flat with lots of sand. But the town's actually surrounded by these huge mountain ranges. And we can see it all from this lookout. This is Mbantwa country of Arinda people. Yiparinya is their word for one of the local native caterpillars. It's their totem and their dreamtime story. And I'm ready to hear it.
A bit of a story about Yiparinya. In the dreamtime, the Yiparinya man was laying down, having rest after ceremony. It's south, where the casino is. There was other groups coming, other Yiparinya, from the west, north. And there were some strangers coming in. And they got up and say, in language, Tenanga Pichaka, Ayerangara Pichaka, Ninuap, Amajara, Aranta, Arbunari, Anguna Buna Nina. Through these different tribes. Then they fought where the casino stands today. That's where the Yiparinya lay. That's where the Yiparinya men are today. The dream that we follow the law, our traditional law, that has been passed on from generation to this day. And a bit further, there's a place that those Yiparinya lay their egg and they form into moth. Today we see a moth. As for us, it's a totem for Arinda people. Australia is not just a place, it's a dreamtime country. And I'm here on behalf of my people.
I'm trying to understand this story, but I think maybe I'm being too literal or not literal enough or something. My understanding was that the mountains were thought to be caterpillars. But Mervyn says the mountains are the men whose legs were cut off in battle. I'm just not sure I get it.
Tell me about that noise we can hear. It's kind of like a constant swishing of cars.
Yeah, what noise? Swishing and all that, you know. But in those days, it wasn't.
In those days, is he thinking 60 years ago, just before whitefellas walked in? Or maybe 60,000 years ago in the dream time? Or maybe his concept of time is different altogether? I can't see with my eyes, but in amongst this town, surrounded by these huge ranges, there's sites that are really important to Mervyn and his people.
So we currently have 580 different species planted here, over 4,500 individual plantings. She saw how important people's connection to country was, and she wanted to ensure that that was something which was protected. My name is Ben Convery, and I'm the curator of the Olive Pink Botanic Gardens in Alice Springs. For the past couple of years, we've been working with Arunda custodians, looking towards managing a lot of the sacred sites around the town.
Ben knows a lot about this character, Olive Pink, the person who set up these gardens. Her legacy is strong and an important one because it's a record of this plant life out here. Olive had a really good understanding of the connection Aboriginal people have with land.
Seeing the plants as more than just static objects, but seeing the spirit within the plants. These plants were more than just leaves and sticks. They actually had their own kind of energy or spirit to them, and she planted a lot of trees and named them after different public figures and politicians, and she would water the trees according to the policies and decisions that those leaders within the community were making. And so the trees that survived were the people who she was agreeing with. It is quite funny.
Something that I'm noticing here is all the rules and ownership around these stories and authority to speak. Some females can say things males can't and vice versa. These caterpillars aren't straightforward. There are secrets here, earned knowledge. And I have a feeling I'm not going to be able to Google the answer when I get home.
So what's the tree story, the sisters?
Unfortunately, I can't actually talk about that story. That's a women's story which I haven't been told a great deal about. But it is a significant story in Alice Springs.
This stone plaque represents what was a soakage, a natural soakage here.
A waterhole.
For the caterpillars in their travels to drink from. And what have we got? A planted tree and a stone plaque.
And well, and behind that a house.
A house that got burnt down. Not payback by anyone, you know, doing a criminal act. But when you think about it, why would that house be destroyed?
So do you think the environment kind of was...
Country has a way of getting back. We say the land will have the final say.
You're not anti-development. It's just there are some spots that are important to you.
Yeah, we're not saying no to any development, but respect our sites.
No, I'm just driving to her place.
You're making your own rules in this country.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I've just driven into the wrong entrance of Olive Pink Botanic Gardens with Doris Stewart. She's played a big part in looking after sacred sites around Alice Springs. And as an elder of Mbantua, she's not afraid to tell me how to drive.
You're making your own bloody rules just because you've got custodian here doesn't give you the right, you know.
Tell me your name and what you do.
My name's Doris Stewart. I am an Arunda woman from Mbantua, Alice Springs. I have lived here most of my life, although I was born out in my mother's father's country, not far from here. Arunda woman again. Both parents were Arunda people.
Why does it matter so much where you're from? I said, what do you do when you told me where you're from?
Well, I'm making a statement that I'm from this area. I belong to the Arunda people.
And that's important?
That is important. That is our identity, which gives us the right to speak for our country, yeah.
Tell me about Alice Springs in general, or tell me about Mbantua, maybe that's the better question.
No, not really, either way, you know.
It's okay either way?
Either way, it's still the same, isn't it? You know, what's in a name? Went to school here, learned to speak and write the Queen's language and salute the flag and everything else, you know, and sing God Save the Queen, all that, still doesn't take away your Aboriginality and the connection to the land. That is paramount. That is important.
Tell me about that connection to the land.
Connection is something that you don't have handed to you on a platter. It's a part of you. Your whole being is connected. I know it's very hard. You're looking at me strangely there. But believe you me, it is something that you can't shake, you know, from your whole journey, life's journey. It's within you when you're born. It's just all around.
Can you tell me about the physical landscape and the stories within that landscape, and why is that so important to Indigenous culture here in Alice Springs? Why is the landscape so important to the culture?
Not to Indigenous people. I'm not Indigenous, I'm Aboriginal.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Right,
The difference is with me is because I have skin that I connect with, and it connects to the Aranda people of this area. Indigenous doesn't sit with me in this spot. Because I'm an Aboriginal person living in Aboriginal country in Barntwa, Aranda person's country.
Looking at the ranges here, going back to their formation 400 million years ago, they used to be over 8 kilometres tall. There used to be glaciers, there used to be huge inland rivers, and it's a very unique space to be able to gain perspective on time and on distance as well, because being such an isolated centre, you get a really different feel for what community is all about. And also, I think you become a lot more resourceful in the way that you do things.
Yes. Let me rephrase the question. Yeah. Why is the landscape, why is the physical landscape so important to Aboriginal culture here in Alice Springs?
Because it's been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's not something that we bought off the Coles shelf or, you know, supermarket or something like that. It's part of the whole connection to this land. And we take on that when we come into the world. It's our identity. It's something we can't get anywhere else. You see where I'm coming from? I don't know. It might take you a little while.
No, look, yeah, it might take a while.
Yeah, and you have not
good things. You're right in the heart of Australia, so you're incredibly isolated, and at times you do feel isolated, but it's also an incredibly dynamic town. You know, there's really interesting people doing incredibly interesting things here.
Sophie Wallace is an art coordinator for Yurunda Aldea Artists.
The centre of, you know, Western Desert art. It's a hard place to live too. Like I say, it's a fantastic place, but it's hard. Like, you're always rubbing up against the climate, you're rubbing up against the landscape, you're rubbing up against politics and people's ideals. It's not easy, but it's worth the challenge. Because the rewards are so great.
We're sitting in the middle of Lara Pinta Town Camp, where Mervyn is actually from. These huge mountain ranges wrap around us. Why is it inspiring to, like, be here in the middle of it? Because a lot of people think of Alice Springs as a flat, flat place, but there's actually these massive hills here. This is your backyard. Like, it's right there.
Well, I mean, I know some people come here and they're just like, oh, I don't really get it. And I think if you don't get the landscape, you won't get Alice Springs. If I didn't love that wild, changing landscape, I don't think I could live here. Yeah, it's pretty powerful and it's pretty in your face. And, you know, one day it's dry as a bone and then you get rain and suddenly it's green. And in the evening it turns purple. And it's a place where different family groups come, leave behind any unpleasant business that might be going on. These are some of the most disadvantaged people in Alice Springs living in this town camp. And what they've created over the last 10 years is really inspiring. So I don't need to inspire them. They inspire me with their resilience and their drive to improve their lives.
Compromise, compromise, our sacred sites. Where can you hide? Do you end up as rubble like on Barrett Drive? Or do you end up as landfill on a building site? Compromise, compromise. Looking through other people's eyes. They don't hurt, they don't cry. They see nothing but a handshake and dollar signs.
Wandananawuma, off track, Radio National.
Compromise, compromise. People will never understand. They will never feel it because it isn't their land. All they worry about is the town.
We're very lucky to be able to look back and see the way that the stories relate to the science and how different people interpreted the landscape. There was so much information which had been collected over thousands of years, which was passed down through storytelling.
It's pretty incredible, isn't it?
It is very incredible.
If the stories are linked to the landscape and physical, you know, mountains and hills and trees and, you know, physical things that are going to be there for a long time, then that's a pretty significant way that the stories can live on, because you've got something there, a way to explain it. It's kind of clicking for me now. If you take away that, or if you damage that, or if you do something to that, then you are physically stripping away a culture's heritage.
Most definitely, and that connection even goes to a deeper level than that, where the people who are responsible for looking after a particular area or story, if their story, which is their cultural connection, is damaged, they are actually being damaged. They're losing their sense of identity. And a lot of people have gotten sick after sites have been damaged, and people have even died.
Oh, park right here.
When significant sites have been destroyed.
I'm looking at this hill. It's only about, I don't know, 8 foot, 8 foot tall, this kind of mound, but it's rocks, and it's a definite kind of mini hill. Sign's a bit faded, isn't it? Caterpillar dreaming.
Jalga.
Mervyn has brought me here to the place where the caterpillars met. It's where his mob used to have ceremony. The sign I'm reading is so faded, it's hard to read. You drive past this hill and not think twice. Antoine?
Yeah.
Alice Springs. Mm. And it's one of the first sites created by the
caterpillar, Jalga.
You will notice that the tall
tail.
Oh, the tail missing. Of the caterpillar is missing.
The tail missing here. This one here? It's missing.
Oh.
Yeah, that road cane.
Oh, because of the road?
Yeah.
There used to be a caterpillar tail here.
Yeah. They're all been flattened down now.
Oh, so these rocks here, this is a small caterpillar.
Yeah.
Notice that the tail of the caterpillar is missing in the sense run over by Barrett Drive. It was unfortunate that an agreement could not be reached between the government and the traditional custodians on how to protect the site before the road was built, as it was during construction of the road in 1983... that the tail section was damaged. Ooh. 1983, they built this road. And we're not on a main street or anything. This is kind of the back of Alice Springs.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been that big a deal, I imagine, to kind of go around it.
Ooh.
And, you know, have a golf course anywhere else in the Red Centre. Why'd they have to have it here?
Just open space.
Yeah, I know. You've got a lot of open space here.
And they should do it in the first place.
Yeah.
You don't see some errant elders left? All gone. Just because of this.
What, they moved away?
No, passed away.
Oh, they passed away?
They sang themselves.
They what?
They sang themselves.
What's that?
Sing the song to finish themselves off. And they're finished now. Because of...
A suicide?
Yeah, self. Because of... Because
they built a road over the tail.
They won't tell us what can happen to them. They keep it themselves secret. Because they got something in their heart and they think to themselves.
I see this rock here in the middle of the gap. This rock has a name, which I'm not sure if I should tell you or not, but I'll just tell you it's a name place. And this one is significant because it's the Queen Moth Mother for all the caterpillars.
Yeah. This is Emily Gap.
Emily Gap, yeah, Ndurka.
These rocks are like shards, like smashed together.
Yeah. Look, it's extraordinary country because, you know, from a distance, the shapes of it are really soft. You know, when you look at the shapes of the ranges, there's these sort of beautiful curves and they're all worn down and they look really soft. But when you're actually in amongst it, like we are here, you realise just how rough and harsh it is.
Jenny McFarland used to work for Aboriginal Sacred Sites. I'm keen to get her version of the caterpillar story. I'm confident she'll be able to clear it all up for me.
Can you tell me this caterpillar story?
Well, look, I only know bits of it. What I can tell you is this, is that the way that stories are told. So you would have been told how that story and how that country, the country that these caterpillars travelled through, related to you. Country has skin. Country is family. So the stories are constantly in a process, I suppose, of development and passing on of knowledge. And over a lifetime, I would get to know, as an Aboriginal person, more and more of those stories and more of what their actual meanings were and what the references were, what some of the more esoteric references were. And look, for people like whitefellas who are used to a particular sort of narrative trajectory, like our stories, we like there to be a beginning, we like there to be a nice sort of wrapped up ending at the end of it all. But depending on your orientation to that story will depend on all that sort of influences the version of the story that you get. So for whitefellas, you know, whitefellas will sit down and they'll hear maybe three or four different versions from different people of a particular story. And they'll sit down and scratch their heads and go, which is the right one? They're all right. They're all correct. Because it depends on the orientation of that person that's telling you that story.
I'm looking for the answer.
Yeah, well, yeah, don't worry looking. Just enjoy that diversity and enjoy the multiplicity because all those stories have a different, slightly different view and aspect to them.
Just letting the kids know that it's time for them to go to toilet and have a drink of water and then back into the class.
While I was in Alice, I went to the local Yiparinya Aboriginal school. I sat in on a language lesson where kids were learning local words. I asked Jennifer, who was running the class, to tell me her version of the caterpillar story. And sure enough, it was completely different. I'm confused. But after visiting all those sites that were destroyed or moved with Doris and Mervyn, I'm just happy to see these kids are learning about their culture.
Age of the landscape, the harshness of the climate has really shaped the way that the culture has evolved in Central Australia, and it's almost as though everything gets washed away, eroded over time until only the really core elements remain. And I think that's part of the journey that anyone coming to Central Australia and spending some time here will go through that process to some extent.
Finding the core?
Yeah, finding the core. Reflecting on what's really important, going through some sort of inner reflective journey in some way so that they gain a better understanding of what's really important to them.
Looking up at the sky, it's not their fault. They didn't have to die. They were strong and happy, so full of life. But then there's that word which rips you inside. That word we all know, that word compromise. And you know, I cry every time, I can't help it, it doesn't matter how many times I read it. Little by little, you will recall what was said in that, and you can say, oh, now I can see what it's about.
Living in Alice Springs all your life, like being surrounded by these ranges, and surrounded by the caterpillars, I guess you're living in the shadow of the caterpillar.
Like the dog, you know, this side is the caterpillar. That's one of our main ancestral beings too.
Where's he?
He's from the west of the gap here.
Oh my goodness, there's a dog story as well. Can you tell me the dog story?
You know what? You lose meaning if you're not talking Aranda.
I think she might be avoiding telling me the story. Maybe next trip I'll be ready.
That's when you really know then that you're being taught. But you're running out of time now, eh?
I'm running out of time in every sense.
Oh no.
Like in every sense, life-wise as well.
There's a clock ticking.
Yeah. It'll take time, dear, but time has a way of...
Yeah, time. Yeah. Yeah,
time.
Time. Thanks, Doris.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll talk soon.
It's a very unique space to be able to gain perspective on time and on distance.
You've been listening to Off Track here on RN. Next week on our Inland Island three-part special from Central Australia, we'll be doing our very best to stay on track in the world's biggest annual off-road adventure, the Finke Desert Race. I'm Mike Williams. Catch you then.